I thought I'm going to push the button. I guess I didn't. For all of you going back to school that are not students, but have something to do with this school, whether you are part of school staff or whether you're a volunteer, we have a special gift for you that's in the box. When you walk out, we will have that at the door for you. Ingrid, can you take care of that and make sure that happens? Thank you. So make sure that you get that before you go. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, starting at chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to ask that you stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. May God open your hearts and your minds and your ears to hear the word of God afresh this day. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that you may see good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, I encouraged you to feed your soul so that you would be able to go out into the world and bring the kingdom of God with you. What we start here today is a conversation about what is the kingdom of God. What are we bringing out into the world? What's going on with us that we can make the world a different place to bring Christ in? And we're going to talk about that through the Sermon on the Mount. So in the next several weeks, that's where we'll be. We're going to look intentionally and intensely at the Sermon on the Mount and what the kingdom of God is and where it resides. It's a tough question to ask because we talk about the kingdom of God a lot. And what that is the rule of Christ, the Prince of Peace in the world. When we look at Christ's life, his death, and resurrection, that inaugural pivotal moment that Christ's reign begins here on earth, we hear that. We celebrate that. We specifically celebrate it at Christmas. We specifically celebrate it at Easter. But yet, we live in a world where we can see that the world is still extremely chaotic. We still live in a world that brokenness still happens. Violence still happens. Our own hearts break. Relationships get broken. So what exactly is it to understand the kingdom of God? Where is it? And where is it happening in this world? And we will find a lot of it has to do within our own souls. So why last week we had this jumping off place, this connection between the two sermon series of taking care of your soul so that you can go out into the world. Because you can't do a whole lot for the kingdom of God if your soul is languishing. If your soul is so hungry it doesn't even know it anymore. If your soul is so thirsty that it doesn't even know it anymore. then we've lost our saltiness. You are the salt of the world, the scripture tells us. But if salt loses its flavor, what good is it? It's trampled out. It's tossed out and it's trampled upon. I thought this was an interesting concept because when you look at it compared to when Jesus says you are the light of the world, a beacon on a hill, this whole concept of being the light of Christ, we get that. I love it that the moon reflects the light of the sun. The moon has no light within itself. The moon cannot light itself up. That's how we are. We are reflections of Christ's light. We are like the moon. If we are in shadow or if something's in the way, we can't reflect that light. All right? But the saltiness one got me a little curious. And I began to wonder, can salt really lose its saltiness? Because really, it can stay on the shelf forever and still be utilized. Salt technically does not go bad. So I'm thinking, what is that about? I mean, salt in and of itself is very, very stable. I mean, have you ever went to the table and your salt went bad? Like, this salt isn't working. What is going on? My salt just went bad. Like, is there an expiration date on salt? Seriously, anybody here ever had your salt not be salty? No, you haven't. None of you are jumping up and down saying, me. None of you. So aren't you intrigued by this? Salt that loses its saltiness. Is it even possible? So I had to look it up. And I have to read to you because I couldn't memorize it. Let's see what it says. All right. This is what the scientist has to... it says, ask a scientist. So that's what this is coming from. Common salt comprises a very stable, simple chemical compound called sodium chloride, which has a salty flavor. As table salt, it typically also contains minor amounts of additives to keep it free-flowing. As it is so chemically stable, sodium chloride will not lose its saltiness, even after being stored dry for many years. However, there are ways in which salt may appear to lose its saltiness. Historically, salt has been obtained from crude sources such as salt marshes and minerals such as rock salt. This contains the stable sodium chloride plus other components. Sodium chloride is readily water soluble, so if this crude salt were exposed to condensation or rainwater, the sodium chloride would be dissolved and removed, and the salt could, in effect, lose its saltiness. Also, the salty flavor is detected by our sense of taste. If there were a physiological change in the functioning of our taste buds, salt consumed may no longer taste the same, but this would not be due to any inherent change in the salt itself. In summary, salt, sodium chloride, is a very stable material which retains its properties when stored dry. So two things. Only two ways your salt will not be salty. And that's one, if it's watered down. And the other one is if you just can't taste it anymore. Now we bring this into the kingdom of God and what this means for the kingdom of God. Right? If we're to bring the kingdom of God into the world, number one, it will not be effective. It will not make any change if it's watered down. All right. And my friends, we are so watered down, it is ridiculous. All right. Number two is if something's wrong with the receiver of the salt and they can't taste it anymore. That sounds familiar. All right. You are the salt of the world. You are so stable and consistent when you are empowered by the living presence of God that it cannot be changed. You cannot help it. But if you allow it to be watered down, you're not any good use for the kingdom of God, whether the receiver can taste you or not, to be able to receive it. I found that to be fascinating. Don't y'all think that's interesting? And it really plays into how we're dealing in the world in which we live today, here, now, today. Because if anything's watered down, it is the gospel. And when it comes to the gospel, we hear all kinds of things. It's extremely important that you stand firm in what you believe. Because when it comes to theology, when it comes to the study of God, when it comes to the study of Scripture, when it comes to understanding, you may be surprised by this, but a lot of people don't agree. Shocking. So if you are not grounded in your faith, in your soul work, in your study, you're going to be all over the place in the little bit that you find and where you land. It's part of the problem within so many churches, even in believers, why we talk about there are conservatives and progressives, and we can't, because there's so much out there. Your work that you do within your own soul is so very important to where you land in your own thoughts and belief of who God is. And to think about who God is every single day. We are so watered down that we forget that we are pursued, that we are housing the living God, our very Creator, our Redeemer, our sustainer, in our very bodies, in our very lives, that God wants a relationship with us so very badly that God is willing to be embodied within us. That's crazy. And yet we don't give it much thought. Now, if we thought about this more often on a frequent level, it might become a reality for us. But instead, what becomes reality for us is the heartbreak of this world. And it's overwhelming. Not just the heartbreak of this world, but our own very temptations. Paul put it this way: there are two individuals residing in us, the new and the old. And the new and the old are constantly at war with each other. The old wants to do whatever feels good. The new is constantly saying, God's not going to like that. God wants you to go this way. And there's this tug of war within yourself. I always liked it growing up. You remember the old cartoons where there's a little devil on one shoulder, and a little angel on the other? Yeah, that's what's going on within your own soul. I mean, it's a great picture of what goes on within us, our own internal struggle. Now, if we are not feeding our own soul, guess who wins out? The little devil wins out if we're not feeding our own soul. Now, the little devil can tempt us to do bad things. The little devil can also tell us to ignore good things. The little devil can plant seeds of apathy within us, anxiety within us. Plant little seeds of discontent within us. It's not just a temptation of doing bad things. It's a temptation of just not caring. And the little devil wins out. What is so fascinating about the Beatitudes is blessed are, and these folks don't sound very blessed to me, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, that doesn't make sense. What's so blessed? That sounds awful. I don't want to be poor in any form or fashion. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are crying their eyes out. Blessed are those who have broken hearts. Blessed are those who are just plain broken. Blessed are you who have been betrayed. Blessed are you who are just trying to make ends meet day in and day out. Blessed are you who are beating yourself up for making mistakes. Blessed are you who have dug yourselves into a hole and can't get out. Blessed are you who feel sorry for yourself day in and day out. Do any of these make sense to you? No, they don't. It's not until we realize where the kingdom of God is born do these make sense. Blessed are those who are struggling in life, for they will encounter God. That's where the blessing is. It's in our struggle that we find God at work in our life. I mean, think about it when your life is good. And it's good for a real long time and it is smooth sailing. You kind of get comfortable. You kind of really don't think about where the blessings are coming from. You just take it for granted. You're not really crying out for help because you don't need any. It is when worry comes into our life, when regret comes into our life, when our heart is broken because of a failed relationship, when we are financially unstable, when we lose a loved one, that our souls begin to cry out in pain and heartache for the one who created us. Blessed is the one who cries out to God. For they will find help in the one they cry out to. I think this is why it doesn't say, blessed are the wealthy. Blessed are those who have it all together. Blessed are those who have all power and authority. Even John Wesley spoke about when people have it too easy, they forget. And they begin to get filled with pride that they have done it all themselves. That they are no longer grateful, but they believe that they brought themselves to this place. You see this over and over again in the Israelites. After God empowers them to seize the land, they win battle after battle after battle. They believe in themselves. They forget that God's hand was in them, but they believe that they are that strong. And they become a forgetful people. And they want to be like other nations. So they say, let's raise up a king. And the prophet is there saying, God is your king. Oh, we want to be like the rest of the people. We've got this. and they get themselves into trouble every single time. And that's what we do. We forget. Blessed are those that forget God, for they will be reminded that God is there. Right? What the Beatitudes show us is the kingdom of God is born within ourselves. That there's something within ourselves that is housing the kingdom of God. And when we fully embrace the presence of God and the kingdom within ourselves, and what that means is the authority of Christ within ourself, we realize that even though when things are bad, things can still be good. All right, here's where the rubber meets the road. I know most of you fairly well. And most of you, the ones that I know that your life is not perfect. Neither is mine. There's heartache and pain and this overwhelming, there are days when it is so overwhelming we don't know where to go. But for those who are grounded in the kingdom of God, there's this peace that happens. Like the big oak tree that is planted by the water, there is no amount of wind or wave that can move it because the roots go so deep. But if our roots are shallow, it doesn't take much just to pluck us right up, right? In order to sense the kingdom of God in your own soul, I'm going to tell you one more time, you've got to take care of your soul. You want peace when things go bad? You want to hear that, blessed am I when I am brokenhearted? Blessed am I when things don't make sense. Blessed am I when things are chaotic. Blessed am I when I receive loss. Because, folks, it's going to happen. Because it's the one guarantee that this world extends to us. Death, taxes, and disappointment. Right? But if we want to be constant in the fruits of the Spirit that God promises us, especially peace, that high anxiety that some of us have learned to live off of, like if we don't feel anxiety, something's not right, right? To not have that anymore, that's soul work, my friends. That's where the kingdom of God begins. And if we don't have it born within ourselves, we cannot bring it out into the world. If we do not have it within ourselves, we cannot be the salt. And it takes a lot for salt to lose its saltiness. It's almost impossible. It's so stable. The realization that if we say that we are Christ's followers and we are not salty, there's something wrong. It means we have been watered down. It means the things of the world have taken on our conscience so powerfully and our subconscious so powerfully that God becomes a second thought in our life. And the only person that can change that for you is you. You are the light to the world. You are the ambassador of Christ, reflecting Christ's light into the world. But if there is something in the way that you cannot receive that, whether it is your own attitude, your own brokenness, your own demons and temptations, that little devil on your shoulder is winning. The only one that can change that is you, through prayer and meditation, through your soul work. To make that connection to God as strong as it can be. Because I promise you, God is pursuing you. Like a hound on the scent of something it really, really wants, God is pursuing you. God is wanting a deeper relationship with you. As soon as you start working at it, as soon as you start getting centered in that, it will happen for you. To make a difference in the world, no matter how bad it is for ourselves, what an amazing thought to be that steadfast in soul. John Wesley's one of the most important questions that he taught his small groups to ask one another is, how well is your soul? How well is your soul? So this week, your homework is to wake up every morning and ask yourself, soul, how are you today? Are you in love with your Creator? Are you ready to exercise God's will today? Are you ready to spend time with the one who sustains you when you don't feel blessed? That's your work for this week as we prepare to go deeper into the Sermon on the Mount and discover even further what it means to live within the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The praise be-